So Aaron Connolly, there was a tone of real celebration in Jakarta yesterday for what definitely was a historic event, Jokowi's inauguration. His opponent, Prabowo Subianto, even showed up for the ceremonies and the festivities. Does all of this give you any sense of hope?
Well, I think it's a positive sign that Prabowo attended Jokowi's inauguration. The preceding loser in the direct presidential elections in Indonesia, Megawati Sukarno-Putri, did not attend her successor's two inaugurations in 2004 and 2009. So it's the first time a losing candidate has attended the inauguration of the winning candidate. So that's certainly positive development. But I wouldn't interpret this as a sign that Prabowo's red-white coalition, to the extent that it's able to stay together, is going to slow down or pull any punches in terms of its opposition to Jokowi's reform agenda, or indeed to weakening him politically as much as possible.
Right, so yesterday in a piece you wrote for The Interpreter, you talked about this attitude of the Prabowo-led opposition in parliament, which is analogous to the way the Republicans have treated President Obama's agenda in the United States.
That's right, and Prabowo's brother Hashim has directly compared the red-white coalition's attitude to the Republicans' attitude in the United States toward Obama after he was elected. The theory being that if the red-white coalition does as much as possible to obstruct Jokowi's progress and his plans for government, even where perhaps their interests coincide, then it will weaken Jokowi politically and ultimately help deliver a bigger parliamentary majority for the red-white coalition come the next legislative election in 5 years, and presumably defeat Jokowi at the next presidential election in 2019 as well.
What did you read into Jokowi's inaugural? I know our colleague Rory Medcalf has said on The Interpreter already that there was a real maritime focus on it. Did you see anything else?
Well, it was a remarkable speech for an Indonesian president. It was mostly abstract. There were no specific statements of policy in it, but it was remarkable for its maritime focus. As Rory noted, I would differ slightly with Rory in that a focus on maritime affairs in Indonesia is not necessarily an external or a foreign affairs agenda as it would be here in Australia. Indonesia, of course, is a very large archipelago, 17,000 islands. And so when Jokowi says for far too long we've turned our back on the bays and the straits and the oceans, he's speaking about Indonesian internal waters as much as he is about Indonesian external waters. So this is as much a domestic agenda. He said that one of his top priorities is going to be building out infrastructure for ports and shipping within Indonesia, as it is a foreign affairs agenda.
And having met with Prime Minister Abbott yesterday, I know you've written that you think the odds are reasonably long on Jokowi actually attending the G20 in Brisbane next month. Have those odds changed at all?
I guess I wouldn't claim to know Jokowi's mind on this. There have been several reports about different things over the past week or two. Wire service reports quoting unnamed sources saying that Jokowi was going to do this or Jokowi was going to do that. But what we've learned over time is that there are a number of different advisors holding different views within Jokowi's camp, and the only one who speaks for Jokowi is Jokowi. And so we don't have any strong indication that Jokowi will attend the summit. He said last night that he couldn't commit to it yet because he doesn't yet have a cabinet in place to plan for the schedule. I think that's a bit of a dodge. But the main point is, you know, Jokowi has an incredibly full domestic agenda, and he's faced with this really daunting domestic political opposition. He wants to do something very unpopular over the next few weeks in raising fuel prices. And if he were to then leave the country for a week to attend three different international summits right after he does that, that would be very challenging politically. So while I think he should go to the G20, I've argued as much on The Interpreter, it's very challenging politically for him to do so.
The only one who speaks for Jokowi is Jokowi, you just said, and yet you've also argued recently in a Lowy Institute paper that Jokowi, when it comes to foreign policy, is heavily reliant on his advisors.
That's correct, and this is the real challenge for Jokowi on foreign policy, is that because he's so reliant on his advisors and because he's unlikely and has not yet really intervened to set a tone on foreign policy, we can expect to see more disagreements between Jokowi's advisors on foreign policy. And as those agreements come up, I don't think that Jokowi, and this is sort of the main thrust of the paper, I don't expect Jokowi will intervene to arbitrate these internal policy disputes in the way that his predecessor SBY did. That's a problem because that will diminish the clarity of Indonesian positions on key regional issues like the South China Sea. And because so many other countries in the region look to Indonesia as a leader on these issues, that's a real challenge for Indonesian leadership in the region.
Okay, so that spells perhaps a little bit of stasis in Indonesian foreign policy, but on the domestic policy front also, you said he's got a large agenda, but what are his prospects like of actually making any progress on that agenda?
Well, it's going to be very challenging. A lot of people compare Jokowi to Obama, and there are definitely some very striking similarities between Jokowi and Obama. He is the face of hope and change in Indonesia, and a really new kind of president. But at the same time, Obama had a congressional supermajority for 2 years in the United States, during which he was able to get healthcare done. Jokowi doesn't have that majority in the parliament, and even if he gets it, he's likely to be opposed by individuals within the parties within his coalition. So even his own party, PDIP, he doesn't really have a strong support from PDIP's legislative caucus, which at the moment is led by his rival within the party, Puan Maharani. So his prospects for getting things done are not nearly as good as, say, President Obama's were 5 years ago.
And he himself, I think, yesterday made some remarks that tried to damp down some of the Obama-like hopes that that people seem to have for his term.
Well, yeah, his advisors in private have for weeks been trying to discourage comparisons to Obama, not only because they consider those to be perhaps a little bit unflattering given the esteem in which Obama is currently held in the United States with relatively low approval numbers at the moment, but also because they just don't want to raise these expectations quite so high. And yes, they've been trying to tamp down those expectations as much as possible, I think realizing what a difficult road they have to hoe at this point.
Aaron, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Sam.